Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW. You notice I'm rolling my R's and prepared to deal with Gilbert and Sullivan, which requires very crisp diction. Luckily, I'm not going to have to wrap my tongue around this Gilbert and Sullivan stuff. We will hear from people far more expert at it than I am tonight. But before we get to Gilbert and Sullivan, a few words, first of all, about the Python lists. I was overwhelmed by the number of requests we got. I didn't know that many people listened to this program. I've gotten about 60 or 70 of them out in the mail already, and there's about 15 left to go, and you'll get them soon, as soon as I run some more off. Also, if you have yet to send it in and want to do it, I need 65 cents postage. I underestimated the amount of... The weight of the list. And if you've got one of those real big envelopes, that would be great, because then I don't have to fold it, because it's like 13 pages long. Anyway, on to Gilbert and Sullivan and Kenneth Williams. Kenneth Williams passed away last week, and he was the star, or one of the stars, of Around the Horn and the Carry On movies, and also some terrific old material as written by Peter Cook. And I'll be playing a very rare piece by Kenneth Williams at the end of the program, sort of as a little... little salute to Kenneth Williams, sort of our obituary here. But in the meantime, let's get to Gilbert and Sullivan. And various approaches as taken to Gilbert and Sullivan. We'll be hearing from Tom Lehrer, Alan Sherman, Danny Kaye, Anna Russell, Groucho Marx. Let's start off with one of these Danny Kaye pieces, and this is called The Nightmare Song.
When you're lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed by anxiety, I conceive you may use any language you choose to indulge in without impropriety. For your brain is on fire, the bedclothes conspire of usual slumber to plunder you. First your counterpane goes and uncovers your toes, and your sheet slips demurely from under you. Then the blanketing tickles, you feel like mixed pickles, so terribly sharp is the pricking. And you're hot and you're cross and you tumble and toss till there's nothing twixt you and the ticking. Then the bedclothes all creep to the ground in a heap, and you pick them all up in a tangle. Next your pillow resigns and politely declines to remain at its usual angle. Will you get some repose in the form of a doze with hot eyeballs and head ever aching? But your slumbering teems with those horrible dreams that you'd very much better be waking. For you dream you are ill, having swallowed a pill that was made out of ossified onyx. And the doctor you found, he is traveling around on a subway that's bound for the Bronx. Oh, you must find him fast as the hours go past. You're convinced you are headed for tragedy. For you saw him on Sunday, felt much worse on Monday, and here it's the following Saturday. You're full of suspicion, that traveling physician, he fed you some stuff with a barb in it. So you dash to the street while you frantically eat a souffle made of sodium bicarbonate. To a druggist you rush, but he gives you the brush, saying, who let this asthmatic aspirin? Though you plead with a villain, you need penicillin. He won't even give you an aspirin. Then a pill on the shelf leaps down by itself and it lands on your head like a lead post. You suddenly awake and no wonder you ache. You've been hitting yourself with a bedpost. You're a regular wreck with a crick in your neck and no wonder you snore. For your head's on the floor and you've needles and pins from your soles to your shins, and your flesh is a creep and your leg is asleep, and you're cramping your toes and a fly on your nose and some fluff in your lung and a feverish tongue and a thirst that's intense and a general sense that you haven't been sleeping in clover. But the darkness has passed, and it's daylight at last, and the night has been long. Ditto, ditto, my song. And thank goodness they're both of them over.
When a felon's not engaged in his employment, or maturing his felonious little plans, his capacity for innocent enjoyment, is just as great as any honest man's. Our feelings we with difficulty smother, when constabulary duties to be done. Taking one consideration with another. A policeman's lot is not an happy one. Ooh. When constabulary duties to be done. A policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Happy one.
When the enterprising burglar's not a burglin'. When the cutthroat isn't occupied in crime.
He loves to hear the little brook a-gurgling.
Brook a-gurgling.
And listen to the merry village chime.
Village chime.
When the coster's finished jumping on his mother.
On his mother.
He loves to lie a-basking in the sun.
In the sun.
Taking one consideration with another.
With another.
A policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Ooh, when constabulary duty's to be done, a policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Happy one.
When the drunkard shows no sign of where the drink went.
Where the drink went.
He nobly bids all alcohol farewell.
All farewell.
When the juvenile delinquent to the clink went.
To the clink went.
He hung his mother's picture in his cell.
In his cell.
When the car chops finish wiping out his brother.
Out his brother.
He buys a rattle for his little son.
Little son.
Taking one consideration with another.
With another.
Policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Whoa. When constabulary duty's to be done,
a policeman's lot is not an happy one.
Happy one.
Gentlemen, I'm much touched by this reception. If I should ever be called upon to act professionally, I am happy to think that there will be no difficulty in finding plenty of people whose loss will be a distinct gain to society at large. As someday it may happen that a victim must be found, I've got a little list. I've got a little list of society offenders who might well be underground and who never would be missed, who never would be missed. There's the pestilential nuisances who write for autographs, all people who have flabby hands and irritating laughs, and all children who are up in dates and floor you with them flat, and all persons who, in shaking hands, shake hands with you like that, and all third persons who, on spoiling tete-a-tetes, insist. They'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
He's got them on the list. He's got them on the list. And they'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
There's the banjo serenader and the others of his race. And the piano organist. I've got him on the list. And the people who eat peppermint and puff it in your face. They never would be missed. They never would be missed. And the idiot who praises with enthusiastic tone all centuries but this and every country but his own. And the lady from the provinces who dresses like a guy and who doesn't think she dances but would rather like to try. And that singular anomaly, the girl who's never kissed. I don't think she'd be missed. I'm sure she'd not be missed.
He's got her on the list. He's got her on the list. And I don't think she'll be missed. I'm sure she'll not be missed.
And that nisi prius nuisance, who just now is rather rife, the judicial humorist. I've got him on the list. All funny fellows, comic men, and clowns of private life. They'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed. An apologetic statesman of a compromising kind, such as, never mind. And what's his name? And you know who. The task of filling up the blanks I'd rather leave to you. For it really doesn't matter whom you put upon the list. For they'd none of them be missed. They'd none of them be missed.
You may put them on the list. You may put them on the list. And they'll none of them be missed. They'll none of them be missed.
And that's going to conclude the actual Gilbert and Sullivan that we'll hear, and the rest of the program will be parodies of Gilbert and Sullivan. That was the Nightmare Song from Iolanthe and the Policeman's Song from Pirates of Penzance, done by Danny Kaye. And As Someday It Might Happen, the Little List Song from the Mikado, which was done by Dudley Moore here recently. And that was Groucho Marx from a production that was done for the Bell Telephone Hour back in, I don't know. And now, this is also a plug for next week's show. Anna Russell is a wonderful, wonderful character. She's a singer, and she does takeoffs on operas and opera singers and the kind of concertizing that they do. And we will be hearing just a brief excerpt. She has it's about 16 or 17 minutes, a thing on how you can write your own Gilbert and Sullivan opera. And here is the finale of that.
Need a handsome young couple whose voices are supple and charming, if just a bit sickly. A chorus to prance through the same kind of dance and do everything terribly quickly. You'll need a small skinny guy who's amazingly spry with a voice like a vegetable grater. A tremendous old crone with a strange vocal tone like our mouth is all full of potato. These operas have got an identical plot, so the narrative doesn't much matter. But it's great to poke fun at most everyone with your typical topical patter. So if you're psychotic or rather neurotic, or if you've a notion you're far too emotional, if you've a pain or a feeling, a strain, get it out of your system by writing a popular operet. An operet dance. This is very traditional.
Hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and rhenium and nickel, neodymium, neptunium, germanium and iron, americium, ruthenium, uranium, europium, zirconium, lutetium, vanadium and lanthanum and osmium and astatine and radium and gold, protactinium and indium and gallium and iodine and thorium and thulium and thallium. There's yttrium, ytterbium, actinium, rubidium, and boron, gadolinium, niobium, iridium and strontium and silicon and silver and samarium and bismuth, bromine, lithium, beryllium and barium. Isn't that interesting? I knew you would. I hope you're all taking notes because there's going to be a short quiz next period. There's holmium and helium and hafnium and erbium and phosphorus and francium and fluorine and terbium and manganese and mercury, molybdenum and magnesium, dysprosium and scandium and cerium and cesium and lead, praseodymium and platinum and plutonium, palladium, promethium, potassium, polonium, and tantalum, technetium, titanium, tellurium, and cadmium and calcium and chromium and curium. There's sulfur, californium, and fermium, berkelium, and also mendelevium, einsteinium, nobelium, and argon, krypton, neon, radon, xenon, zinc, and rhodium, and chlorine, carbon, cobalt, copper, tungsten, tin, and sodium. These are the only ones of which the news has come to Harvard. And there may be many others, but they haven't been discovered.
When I was a lad, I went to Yale, and I knew then that I could never fail, for I studied very hard, and furthermore, I polished up the apple for the professor.
He polished up the apple for the professor.
I polished up the apple so frequently that soon I had a Phi Beta Kappa key.
He soon had a Phi Beta Kappa key from polishing the apple very frequently.
On graduation day, I made a stop at a very exclusive clothing shop. I opened up a charge account and asked them for the best gray flannel in the clothing store.
The best gray flannel in the clothing store.
That suit was a part of a great intrigue, for it proved I was a member of the Ivy League.
It was part of the great intrigue,
for it proved he was a member of the Ivy League.
Then I got a crew cut and a sincere tie, and for my first job I did apply. A job in an advertising agency, sharpening the pencils of a big VP.
Going home to light a pencil for a big VP.
I sharpened all the pencils so pointedly that now I am a partner in the agency.
He sharpened all the pencils so pointedly
that now he is a member of the agency.
I kept my ears open and my big mouth shut, and I learned all the agency scuttlebutt. I learned who was going out with whom and who had the keys to the powder room.
And who had the keys to the powder room.
For the key to the powder room, you see, is the key to the structure of the agency.
The keys to the powder room is the key to the structure of the agency.
I worked real hard for the dear old firm. I learned most every advertising term. I said to the men in the dark gray suits, let's run it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Let's run it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
I ran it up the flagpole perfectly. So now I am a partner in the agency.
He ran it up the flagpole perfectly. So now he is a partner in the agency.
Now I have a big office at the end of the hall with very fancy carpeting from wall to wall. I keep my mouth open and I keep my ears shut. And I've got a little palace in Connecticut. So I thank old Yale, and I thank the Lord, and I also thank my father, who is chairman of the board.
When I, good friends, was called to the bar, I'd an appetite fresh and hearty. But I was, as many young barristers are, an impecunious party. I'd a swallowtail coat of a beautiful blue and a brief which I bought of a booby. A couple of shirts and a collar or two and a ring that looked like a ruby.
Need a couple of shirts and a collar or two and a ring that looked like a ruby.
In Westminster Hall, I danced a dance like a semi-despondent fury, for I thought I should never hit on a chance of addressing a British jury. But I soon got tired of third-class journeys and dinners of bread and water. So I fell in love with a rich attorney's elderly, ugly daughter.
So we fell in love with a rich attorney's elderly, ugly daughter.
The rich attorney, he jumped with joy, replied to my fond professions. You shall reap the reward of a pluck, my boy, at the Bailey and Middlesex Sessions. You'll soon get used to a look, said he, and a very nice girl you'll find her. She may very well pass for 43 in the dusk with a light behind her.
She may very well pass for 43 in the dusk with a light behind her.
The rich attorney was good as his word. The briefs came to hooping gaily. And every day my voice was heard at the sessions or Ancient Bailey. All thieves who could my fees afford relied on my orations. And many a burglar I've restored to his friends and his relations.
And many a burglar he's restored to his friends and his relations.
At length I became as rich as the Gurneys, an incubus then I thought her. So I threw over that rich attorney's elderly, ugly daughter. The rich attorney, my character high, tried vainly to disparage.
No.
Yes. And now, if you please, I'm ready to try this breach of promise of marriage.
And now, if you please, he's ready to try this breach of promise of marriage.
For now I'm a judge.
And a good judge, too.
Yes, now I'm a judge.
And a good judge, too.
Though all my law be fudge, yet I'll never, never budge. But I'll live and die a judge and a good judge, too.
Okay, that was another Danny Kaye piece, because we had time for it. A Judge's Song from Trial by Jury. Before that, we heard Alan Sherman doing When I Was a Lad. I think that's from Pinafore, the original, but I'm not sure. We started off with Tom Lehrer doing The Elements. And we'll sneak in one more little snippet of Tom Lehrer. This is from a longer piece in which he does various verses of My Darling Clementine as done by various composers. And here's how the last verse would be, as by Gilbert and Sullivan.
And to end on a happy note, one can always count on Gilbert and Sullivan for a rousing finale full of words and music and signifying nothing. That I missed her, depressed her young sister named Esther. This mister to pester she'd try. Now a pestering sister's a festering blister. You'd best resist her, say I. The mister resisted, the sister persisted. I kissed her, all loyalty slipped. When she said I could have her, her sister's cadaver must surely have turned in its crypt. Yes, 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 yes. But I love she and she loves me. Enraptured are the both of we. Yes, I love she and she loves I. And will through all eternity. See what I mean?
Now, that's from a very rare version of that record, by the way. That's the Evening Wasted album, but that's a version that's only released in Europe, I believe, called More of Tom Lehrer, which has without the audience. Thought you might like to hear something different there. And that will conclude our Gilbert and Sullivan stuff for today. Again, going back to that last set, we heard The Elements from Tom Lehrer, When I Was a Lad, Alan Sherman, Judge's Song from Trial by Jury by Danny Kaye, and the Clementine piece by Tom Lehrer. And now, to pay tribute to the late Kenneth Williams, who passed away this week, here's a piece written by Peter Cook back in 1960, 61, 59, around there. From a British review called One Over the Eight. A very rare piece and one of my very favorite pieces of comedy material. It's called Interesting Facts.
Hello.
Hello.
I think I'll sit down here.
Yes, you do that.
Hello again.
Hello.
Did you know you got 4 miles of tubing in your stomach?
I beg your pardon?
I said, did you know you got 4 miles of tubing in your stomach?
No, I didn't realise that.
Well, you have, in any case, 4 miles of it, all coiled up very tight.
Yes, I'd rather not think about it, thank you.
It has to be coiled up very tight, otherwise they never get it all in. It's interesting, isn't it, how they manage to cram it all in?
Yes, I suppose it is.
Because a special kind of tubing is used. You couldn't get 4 miles of any old tubing in your stomach.
No.
It's called intestines. And it folds up ever so small. That's how they manage to cram it all in. Aren't you interested in your intestines?
Not particularly.
Well, you ought to be, because they're very important. You'd be lost without your intestines. Would you like to see a diagram of your intestines? I've got one here in my little book.
No, thank you very much.
Well, it's not really a diagram of your intestines. Not unless it was you that modelled for it. And it couldn't be you, really, because you have to be dead before you could model for intestines.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So it's not a very good job to have, is it? There you are, you see? You see how far the food has to travel?
Yes, yes, I see.
4 miles it has to go, and it takes 4 hours. That's a mile an hour it goes.
I had no idea.
That means you never get any really fresh food in your stomach. It's all at least 4 hours old.
Fancy that?
No, I don't fancy that, thank you very much. I don't fancy it at all. I wish my intestines were shorter. Don't you wish your intestines were shorter?
I wish you'd leave my intestines out of it.
You can't leave your intestines out of it. You wouldn't be able to digest.
Let's just forget about my intestines, shall we?
All right, then. Would you like to hear an interesting fact about Chinamen?
Oh, very well. What is it?
Do you know that if all the Chinamen in the world was to link hands, they would girdle the earth 3 times?
3 times, eh?
Yes. Girdle, girdle, girdle. Because I haven't had time to check up on it, you know. I haven't had time to go around saying, Mr. Wang, meet Mr. Wong, link hands and see if you can girdle the earth. I'm too busy writing all the facts down in my little book. They are very interesting facts in my little book, aren't they?
Oh, yes, I'm fascinated.
For instance, did you know that the whale isn't really a fish at all? The whale is an insect and it lives on bananas.
The whale is an insect? I've never heard of such rubbish.
I know. It's a joke. I just made it up. I was having you on. It's one of my little jokes.
Yes, I see.
What about the grasshopper, then?
Well, what about the grasshopper?
I don't know. Have you heard anything?
Oh.
No, but really, the grasshopper is a very interesting creature. Do you know it has a disproportionate leaping ability due to its very powerful hind legs? And it goes hop. It goes hop, hop, hop all over arable land. That is land where it's actually tilled by Arabs. Oh, and you know an Arab can live for a whole year on 1 grain of rice?
A whole year on 1 grain of rice?
Yes. Oh, no, it's a mosquito that lives for a whole year on 1 grain of rice. I always get those two mixed up because I've got them on the same page. See, that's mosquito and Muslim.
Quite so, quite.
But it's interesting, isn't it, about the grasshopper's leaping ability? If a giraffe could leap pound for pound as high as a grasshopper, a giraffe could leap right onto the moon and thus lead Britain in a space race. That's an interesting fact, isn't it?
Yes, well, I'm rather bored with all your interesting facts.
That's interesting too, because you know what? I'm Britain's secret boring weapon.
You're Britain's secret boring weapon?
Yes. You see, if there's a war, they put me on aeroplane, and I'm dropped on the enemies.
Dropped on the enemies?
Yes, and then I bore them all to death. I bore them all to death, you see?
I'm not at all surprised. I've never heard such a load of...
Here, that's only a joke. Here, that's a joke. It's just one of my little jokes. It's not a fact. It's just a joke. Oh, he's gone.
And I'm going to be gone too, but we managed to get quite a bit into this show, I think. That was Gilbert and Sullivan and Kenneth Williams, and next week we'll be listening to Anna Russell, she of the marvelous parodies of opera. And let's see, what is there to tell you about? The Monty Python shows are not just on MTV, but if you don't have cable, there are two of them every Friday night on KCET, late and well worth catching. Again, not in sequence, but, you know, what do you want, everything? And if you have the list that you sent to me for, then you'll know where you stand as far as those are concerned. I hope you're watching The Wonder Years on ABC. It is truly a minor miracle, that being an intelligent and very funny and warm situation comedy. What else can I recommend? Not a whole lot, but that's a lot, don't you think? Anyway, until next week, you can write to me, Bob Claster, KCRW, Funny Stuff, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And so until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you, as always, to keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.